Hello and welcome to Virago Voices Podcast. Podcast number 2. This podcast is all about women's empowerment. Today's podcast is entitled Re. I know Re through work, although it took me a few months to truly know her. It wasn't until our second job in the hospital on a busy surgical ward where we truly got to know each other. My friend Re is a true free spirit. She is the kind of person you need beside you in a crisis. She is the perfect mix of hilarious and strong. She is the kind of woman you can just sit down with and chat for hours on end and not even realise it. Her positive outlook on life is beautiful. And from Re, I have learnt spontaneity. Re has taught me that despite all your plans in life, things change, and probably for amazing reasons. So the best thing to do is go with it and enjoy the journey that life takes you on. I hope you enjoy our conversation with the virago that is Re. Hi Re, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. So let's get started.
Okay.
What's your life goal?
What a terrifying question.
I agree.
I find this so difficult to answer. I've given it a lot of thought because you gave me some warning about these questions. So to go in with something based around my career, mm-hmm. I'm approaching the end of the foundation years of being a doctor, as you know, because I work with you. So I'm starting to have to think about what training pathway I want to pursue. And my most recent kind of thing that I want to go with is surgery.
Cool.
So I think I quite want to, do core surgical training, but more kind of actually more before that, something I really want to incorporate in a few years out is working abroad a lot. I think definitely through Expedition Medicine, which is something that I had a bit of a flavour of when I was at uni, because I went on this wilderness and expedition medicine course and also did this dive medicine course.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was. It was really cool. And it was run by people that were trainees, mostly in ACCS, so kind of anaesthetics, ITU trainees. And they were in during their training, they were able to take a lot of time out, which is something I hadn't ever really thought about before, because I don't know, medicine's one of those things that you think once you're kind of on the path of it, you don't stop, and there's kind of a sense that you just have to keep going, and it's all a bit of a rat race. I've never taken a year out so far, and you just kind of stay on that path until you're a consultant, but that's not how it is at all. You're your own boss, really. Yeah, I want to take a lot of time out and want to work abroad. And I think the best way to do that is through expedition medicine. Or that's something that's really appealed to me anyway.
Yeah, that's really cool that you're forging your own pathway in medicine rather than just taking the conventional route.
Yeah.
Obviously quite scary though.
Yeah, but then I don't know, maybe this is a fairly naive and early career outlook to have, but just because I'm so early on in my career now, and I do really love my job, but just the thought of spending the rest of my career in a hospital is just the worst thing ever.
I totally agree.
There's no way I could ever do that. So I think whatever I end up doing, it's got to involve being outside, doing fun things. There's nothing I love more than going on holiday. And, ideally in that, climbing mountains or going on some sort of expedition or trek or seeing new places, doing new things. And so if I can make that part of my job and go on those sorts of trips and be the doctor, like, how perfect is that?
Yeah, that's class.
Yeah.
You're literally a lifestyle. You're going in for the lifestyle career rather than the...
Oh, 100%. Yeah, absolutely.
That's the best way to be.
No, I think having fun is number one priority. Absolutely. Yeah.
You're a fun girl.
Well, thank you.
And do you have any advice for people who, maybe girls who, have a career in mind but don't really know how to make it fun?
I think just sky's the limit. I've been brought up in a way that is, I've always been told that anything I want to do is completely, is possible. But I think even with that, there's still sort of limitations that I've put on myself, thinking like, well, I can't do that But why shouldn't you do that? Someone's going to do that. If you see someone doing that, then, and you want to do something like that, then, you know, make it happen.
That brings us nicely into our new motto.
Which is?
Which is, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Yeah, don't ask, you don't get. Yes.
Which we are queens of at the minute.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah.
Just pushing our luck as far as we can push it.
But, you know, no one's going to offer it to you if you don't, if you don't express that you want it.
Yeah, I think that's really important.
Yeah.
To know, not a specific goal, but have, like you said, a fun job. That's your goal. And to just work until you find that.
Yeah, and just figure out how people that do that do it, and don't think that, you know, it's just one step at a time. I think I'm always thinking, oh, well, you know, when I get to this stage, then I'll think about that. But actually, you can do things now, and like, it's never too early to start getting ideas and making plans.
Yeah, that's class. I love it. So kind of leading on from that, but our next question, what would you tell 16-year-old you?
Just to, so the main thing I'd say, well, firstly, I don't think my 16-year-old self would listen to anything that anyone had to say, really. But no, in all seriousness, I'd tell myself just to not worry, and kind of like we've said, not feel limited or restricted in any way. If you enjoy something, don't worry what other people think. Don't worry about what you think you should be doing or who you should be hanging out with. Just do what you want to do and take time to find out what you like and what you're interested in and what makes you tick.
Yeah, and that's so important, to find your loves in life.
Absolutely.
And in speaking about limited, I know you said that you never really felt that you were limited in life, but do you think that girls in particular are limited?
Yeah, no, I think they are. I think there's loads of very ingrained, very subtle limitations that are placed on us as women, which are quite hard to unpick because they are so ingrained, and you don't really, it certainly took me until becoming an adult to question those things, because they're just what you're used to. And I don't think anyone around you means for it to be oppressive or anything like that, because it's just the way things are. But women are, I mean, we're physically generally smaller and less strong. And I think that with that comes like a sense of being a bit more vulnerable, physically and emotionally. So I don't know, maybe the limitations are derived from that. But
yeah, but I almost think that vulnerability is what makes us so wonderful sometimes.
Yeah, oh, I think it's such an asset, and it's something that a lot of people don't, it's something that's really undervalued and not misunderstood, but I guess it's more that if you don't get it, you don't get it, so it can't be appreciated.
Yeah.
But yeah, that emotional vulnerability is something that I think that makes us so close as women. And like, I'm closer to my female friends than I could be to most, well, I don't know, this is a huge sweeping statement, but my closest friendships are certainly with other girls. And
yeah.
I think a lot of that comes from the us being able to be so open and honest with each other, and just not have anything to hide. You know, we can, and just, you know, without fear of being judged or for anything.
Yeah, I think that's really important when you're 16. Going back to the actual question, like,
yeah,
having those girl gangs that you just talk about anything with.
Yeah, although I feel like 16 is a bit of a difficult age, because people can be quite catty and everyone cares a lot about things that don't really matter. And it's really hard to not get sucked into that.
Yeah, it is.
Which is what I mean by my original point of saying, just don't worry about what people care and just try not to worry, full stop.
Yeah.
But yeah, 16 is not an easy age,
no,
I don't think.
Oh, God.
I mean, that whole late teenage to early 20s, and still now, is just, you know, this comes with its challenges. But yeah, I think certainly through those years I've made the most amazing friendships with the people that I shared those years with.
Yeah. And is there anything poignant that stuck out to you that you've learned, you know, living those years?
I think just that you have to learn from your own experiences. There are so many times that... So I've got two older sisters and, you know, I'm pretty close to my mum and friends that will have gone through things before I went through them, and similarly friends that I was trying to advise. And it's actually really hard to advise people on things like... anything really, actually, but particularly the first thing that kind of springs to mind is boys,
yeah,
and boyfriends and many terrible decisions in that department. But yeah, so your original point was things
that you'd learned.
That you'd learned is mainly that people have to learn from their own experience.
Yeah.
And just don't push too hard when you're trying to advise people, and don't beat yourself up too much for not taking other people's advice, because you've got to learn from your own mistakes.
No, I totally agree.
It's completely part of the process.
And it's so frustrating when your friends are doing something so annoying and you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it is so frustrating, but... you know, you've just got to take a step back sometimes and just let it be.
And just love them.
Yeah.
And be there for them.
When... Yeah, just be there for them, pick up the pieces at the end. And, you know, when you're the one that's doing those things, let them pick up the pieces at the end, because that's what good friends are for.
Oh, my God. Over the years, so many pieces.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any better either.
It does get better, though.
No, I mean,
we do, yeah.
Kind of.
There's something about, you just feel so strongly at that age, I think. I don't know whether it's just, I don't know, maybe I've just become a bit of an icicle in recent years, but I honestly, I don't think I'll ever feel like the same emotional turmoil that I did at some points from being 17 to 22, say. And I know I'm only 25 now, so, you know. There's many more years to come, but there is something about just, I think it's, again, it's part of the process of exploring and learning about yourself and how you react to certain situations, because there's a first time for everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's that kind of like first heartbreak, first loves and things like that. You feel things so strongly at that age.
And I think it's good to remember that as well. Like, you'll never forget your first love and your first breakup.
Yeah. And it hurts so much. Thank God you never have to go through it again.
Oh, my word. It does. And it does get easier.
Yeah. Oh, God, 100%. Because you become more pragmatic in your approach to these things as you get older. Because you know, you understand yourself a bit more, I think.
And you start to learn what you like and what you don't like and accept yourself for being alone.
Yeah, definitely that. I mean... I love being on my own at the moment.
Good. That's great. Yeah. That's empowerment.
Yeah, no, honestly, I'm single at the moment. I honestly couldn't be happier.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
It'd be nice if I could see other friends a bit more through lockdown. But other than that,
I know.
No complaints.
Come on, Boris. And third and final question.
Yes.
My favourite.
Yes.
What does being a woman mean to you?
Again, a really easy question from you. No, this is a tricky one for me because I am a woman, so I've never really thought about what it means to me. But that being said, obviously, I knew about this question before you asked me just now. So I think my answer to that would be, well, firstly, it's a difficult one because being a woman means so many different things, and we've already kind of touched on it but just kind of women are so many different things. They're so diverse. I've got so many friends and know so many women through friends, family and however else that all have different strengths, and I love them all for different reasons, and they're all very different on paper, but that doesn't make any of them any less of a woman or any less amazing. So I think that's kind of one of the real beauties of being a woman, is that we are allowed to be so dynamic with so many different things. There's no kind of prescriptive thing about being a woman, I don't think, really. I've just lost my train of thought.
No, I love that, like, diversity. That's so great.
Yeah.
That's so wonderful. And I feel we're getting more and more diverse as our oppressions are lifted.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, obviously there are still people that suffer from certain oppressions and things like that, which, you know, a different topic entirely. But yeah, I completely agree. Like, in, you know, it's the 21st century. And yeah, I do think that irrespective of background, race, religion, colour, anything like that, we're all kind of, women have a unified outlook on life, I think, that is unique to us. And is quite special. You know, we understand things in a different... I don't know. I'm not a man, so I can't comment on how men see the world or people of any other gender for that matter. But...
We do definitely have a different outlook to men, though. You can tell when you sit and talk to a man for about 5 minutes. You're like, geez, we're so different.
Yeah, I know. And sometimes they just don't get it. No. It's just far too black and white.
Yeah, and I
just don't.
No, I love that diversity, and but we're all bonded by a kind of sisterhood.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, and I really do think that applies, like, across all women, no matter what.
And you talked earlier about, like, female friends and things. Do you think that's an important part of being a woman?
For me it is, yeah, because... And I know there are people are different, but for me, my best, closest friends are pretty much all female. And, like, I don't know. I've got three sisters and a brother who I'm very, very close with, all of my siblings. But maybe something about growing up in such a sort of female dominant house. I don't know, maybe that's got something to do with it. But then I was one of those children that, I was kind of always surrounded by boys because all of our best family friends were all boys. So I had a lot of, like, boy friends as a kid.
So popular.
But, yeah, as I've become an adult, so I always thought, you know, I got on with boys and girls kind of the same, but being an adult, definitely all of my closest friends are female, and there is something about being, you just get each other more. Like, you don't even have to explain things, you don't have to spell it out, they just get it.
Yeah,
and
so
you
fast.
Can moan and whinge about things and they won't question it, and
yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is the true essence of the podcast.
Great.
And you said about growing up with, you know, kind of female-dominated household. Do you think that, you know, going back to question one, you said about you never really felt any limitations on you. Do you think that was impacted by your kind of matriarchy household that you lived in?
Yeah, I think so. So, so my parents are very kind of... grew up in like a very sort of female dominant environment in a lot of ways, but in some other ways my parents are quite traditional. Like, my dad was the one that went to work, although he did work from home a lot, so he was always around, and my mum was kind of the one that was at home, and she was always around for us, and she was very much kind of the stay-at-home mum. So that side of things was quite traditional. I think it probably is because my sisters are just great. And they're 8 and 10 years older than me. I don't know, just everyone around me. It was never really sort of, it was only as I got a bit older that I was sort of made aware of the oppression towards women kind of throughout history. Which is quite nice, really, because I was just brought up thinking I could do anything.
Yeah.
I don't really know what it is. I guess I'm the oldest of my... I've got two older sisters, and we share a dad. And then I'm the eldest of my mum's and my dad's. So maybe being the oldest child, I don't know, being the dominant one, and I was always quite... quite a bossy older sister to my younger brother, I think. So maybe that added to it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But there was just kind of, and I was actually, I was a real tomboy as a child. So no one, I could just do all the same things that the boys could physically.
Yeah.
And also at that age, girls are actually stronger than boys. You know, that kind of funny.
Well, we're smarter. but we are
smarter.
We're a few years developing. We're a few years beyond boys anyway. So
yeah, but also physically, you know, that kind of late primary school age where girls puberty just a little bit sooner, and so we are stronger and we can run faster and we are like taller than a lot of the boys.
Yeah.
So yeah, all throughout primary school, it was just never even a question. I was in charge.
Then why did it change?
I don't know. I think it was secondary school.
I know. I think it's puberty.
I think it is puberty, actually.
It really screws you over.
Damn it.
Boobs screw you over.
Oh, God. I mean, how awkward are boobs and periods?
Periods are the worst.
For God's sake. Yeah, they're the worst. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing worse than just realising that something catastrophic's happened in your class and you have to sidle your way out of the classroom.
Oh, gosh.
Do you think that was part of being a woman?
Absolutely. Bleeding from your vagina every month is an amazing part of being a woman, isn't it?
I mean, it does suck.
It sucks so much. Every single month as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, you want it to happen as well, because you're like, well, I don't really want to not have a period.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I have the implant, is because I can't put up with that life anymore.
I know, but I mean,
It is, it's part of it, though. Part and parcel, unfortunately. Or fortunately, as you say.
We are amazing.
Yeah. And the fact we can grow humans inside of us.
That just blows my mind.
Yeah, every time.
Every time. And then you had to push it out of you as well.
I know. And feed it.
I know. That's a total endurance sport in itself.
Yeah. Speaking of which, that's the this is what we were talking about at one point before about endurance and the Ice Maidens. I was watching a webinar about the Ice Maidens. So the Ice Maidens are an all-female group who were the first all-female group to cross Antarctica completely just with manpower, well, woman power.
Woman power,
Power. And I didn't realise the setbacks they experienced despite all of their meticulous planning in the early stages, which must have just been so disheartening. They used up all of their buffer time that they had at the start because the weather was just crap and completely not in their favour.
Oh, yeah. I remember them talking about that.
But they still went on to go and break so many records and prove that women are sort of the ultimate endurance machine.
Yeah, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, evolutionarily shouldn't be the case because men were hunter-gatherers.
Mm.
But actually,
it makes perfect sense, though, because we're the ones that can grow humans inside of us. We're physically smaller, therefore we need fewer calories to sustain us. And that also, by the same token, means we're lugging around less weight. So when it comes to that endurance marathon, we do better.
Yeah. And the way we save fat. I mean, most people conventionally don't like it, but why is society against us?
I don't know.
Women are amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's where we should finish up the podcast.
Yeah, okay.
That's our final word.
Excellent.
Women are amazing.
Great.
Well, thank you so much.
I loved that.
That was fun. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. And special thank you for the amazing artwork.
Oh, thank you.
Ree drew the artwork for this podcast. She's amazing. So hope you enjoyed our podcast with Ree. The virago that is Ree.
Can't wait to hear from all the other viragos on the podcast.
Make sure you subscribe and follow us on Spotify.
Bye.
Don't know why I waved there.